Hello, and welcome to Boss Madle, where I sit down and get real with some pretty amazing, creative women entrepreneurs. So grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine and get ready to be inspired. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Boss Madle. This is our third episode. It's really an exciting journey for me, and one that is a little challenging at the same time. Believe it or not, I am sometimes a bit of an introvert. So putting myself out there, hearing my voice numerous times during the editing process can be a bit challenging for me, but it is something that I'm really proud of. I've been really enjoying the deep conversations that I've been having with the woman I'm interviewing, and you're going to love this interview today with Dini Klein, founder of Prep and Rally. Before I begin, I just want to share a quote. This one I just posted on Instagram. Please make sure to follow us on Instagram, Boss Madle. And the quote is, "The distance between dreams and reality is called action." And this quote really helped me push through this past week. I had a bit of a challenging week. I had a couple work deadlines. One of them was to submit some design articles to a big magazine, and I could not reach my copy editor. So I started to panic, and instead of really getting into that frenzied mode, I took a step back. I thought, what actionable step could I take that would help me? And so I called my father, who is a writer. He was professor of neurology and cell biology, really intelligent, is used to reading a whole different caliber of articles. But in this case, he was editing an article on design trends, Kelly Wurstler, colors, linen, something completely different. But you know what? It worked out beautifully. He was super helpful. I got my article edited, and that was that. Another example is this interview today. We had a bit of a hard time with the audio at the end, and I did not have any issues with my first two interviews, but for some reason today, I could not record the last two lines of our interview, and Dini was so lovely and patient, and we tried and tried, and we could not do it. So you will see at the end, I have kind of ended off the interview, but it kind of really rattled me because I want every interview to be professional and everything to be perfect. Of course, when you put a project out there, you want it to be absolutely flawless. So this was a challenge for me, and I kept telling myself, just take action. And that meant recording the last 2 minutes by myself, staying calm, staying optimistic. But it definitely is something that many of us face, the idea that there are hiccups along the way, that things don't always work out the way we want. But I think staying focused, staying on a course of action is really, really helpful. So I challenge you all to try to do that if something comes up that's unexpected or unplanned. And I think it can be really, really helpful. So without further ado, let me introduce our guest today. Dini Klein is a chef, food media personality, mom of two, and the founder of Prep and Rally, a family-friendly meal prep subscription service designed to save time, money, and sanity while putting dinner on the table in minutes through the busy work week. She's turned a daily chore into a fun activity with a community of people doing it together. You can find Dini on all social media platforms at Prep and Rally and join the squad via www.prepandrally.com. Dini, welcome to the show. Hi, Dini. Welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. How are
yes,
you?
Yes, I'm doing great. And I'm excited to get some interesting questions your way and get some good cooking tips today. So yes, Let's get started. Can you take us back a bit and tell us how you started your business?
Yeah, so it started really as a private chef business with the end goal and end intention of being a TV show.
Okay.
I always had a background in art, so I loved everything in the creative field. I just was kind of like dabbling in design and like fashion design, and drawing and painting, and just really anything creative, music. I played by ear. I just loved everything creative. Loved cooking, but I never really realized that I could turn it into a full-on profession. And okay, then I kind of fell in love with Jada De Laurentiis on the Food Network. And I was like, you know what? I want to be her. Like, I want to come up with recipes, have my own thing, and let's have my own show on the Food Network. Like, that was the goal. And it, to this day, it kind of remains the goal, except there's so much more opportunity in digital that I've kind of not even, I just don't really care as much about TV per se, but right, But that's still the end goal, is to grow a brand and a name for myself in the food space. So yes, I started doing some private chefing for mostly young singles in the Upper West Side, kind of competing a little bit with Glot. What was that store called in the Upper West Side? Ah, blanking out of the name, where you get like takeout.
Was it Zabar's?
No. Well, Kosher Marketplace was one of the places, but okay. There was another place, I'm blanking out of the name, where all these young Jewish single guys would buy food for the week, and they would charge like $10 a container of rice, and
oh, that's really
$12 for a thing of meatballs, and they'd also bring back their mom's food on the weekends. So I was like, you know what? What if I just competed with that and made this really authentic mom's homemade cooking, and they could just order it whenever they want? They wouldn't have to schlep it back from their mom's house or go to the store and spend a fortune. I could try to compete.
That's brilliant.
With that. Which was kind of fun. Brilliant, except I was living in a New York City apartment. I couldn't buy in bulk. I couldn't buy wholesale. So it was kind of just like breaking even-ish.
Yes. I'm sure it was a lot of physical work as well.
Oh, yes, a lot. And I had two roommates, and I was like always cooking in my kitchen. They were so sweet for like just putting up with it. They loved it. I'm like so shocked that they were so accommodating. But yeah, I would do that. I put my little labels on it. I started a website. That was the beginning of DD Delivers. And then after a little bit, I went to the CKCA, that Kosher Culinary School in Brooklyn, did a little program there, which was a 2-month program just to ensure that I really wanted to do this full on. And then I worked at the Prime Grill for 6 months after that, while simultaneously picking up my first real client, because I decided to get out of the young singles who don't really care to pay a premium and to cook more for families who really cared to pay for their, you know, really great quality food that was completely customized. That was the new goal, was to cook for these families and really be part of their family, which was what happened. I mean, I had these two families that I would cook for multiple times a week, every single week.
Okay.
And I would make the birthday cakes and make their holiday desserts. I had their, you know, I was with them for every family event, which was really cool. So I kind of became part of their family. And all of this was
That's
really
incredible.
To sort of get that exposure, get that, you know, that confidence in the kitchen, and just to build myself up as a food personality, because before that I didn't really have any experience. So I sort of had to work in the field for a little bit if I wanted to ever do this professionally.
Okay. So you were basically cooking for these families in your tiny New York kitchen. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. And then what happened next?
So then I realized that I need to actually start making money instead of breaking even, because that's what business is all about. And the CKCA, that Kosher Culinary School, actually hooked me up with my very first client, which was this family in the Upper West Side. And at the time, they only wanted somebody that was able to cook Friday night dinner for them. And they wanted somebody to serve dinner. And I told them that I'm an Orthodox Jew. I can't exactly do that. But I kind of found like a loophole way of doing it, and they paid me in advance, and I literally just walked over because they lived like a couple doors down. I would serve their dinner, come back home to my husband. We would have our dinner, and we did it. It was not ideal by any means. And I just can't believe that I did it for years. Every single Friday night, I cooked all day for them on Friday, and then I served all Friday night. But that was my one chance to kind of make it happen. And it was an amazing opportunity. And that turned into cooking for them twice a week, every single week. And then from there, I built up to another client who I cooked for 3 times a week, every week. So it ended up being like a full-time, you know, catering business almost. Everything was completely customized. And it wasn't about having 100 crappy clients. It was about having a few solid clients who I would cook for every single day of every single week. So
that's so important.
Really working out. Yeah. You want to have good clients, right? And I'm sure you know that as well with your business too.
Yes. Yes. I'd rather have a good couple key clients than someone here, someone there, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So that sounds like
you want
a nice,
consistency.
Solid start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was really great. But the end goal was still the TV, still the media side. I was just kind of building up this, you know, momentum and getting some experience on the job. And every chef that I spoke to said, you don't need to go to a full-on culinary school. Just start working in kitchens, start getting your hands, you know, just start working in the field, get some experience.
Right. Now, how many years did you do this for the original family?
The original family was, I think it ended up being like 3 years. I think it was maybe 2 or 3 years for the other family as well. So that was really, and then on top of that, I would do like random Shabbat dinners and, you know, birthday parties. I did a couple bat mitzvahs actually. And so like small private parties, I would start doing cooking demonstrations. So in between I would do like randoms as well. So I was really busy running all over the city, shopping, cooking, just making it work. And it was a hustle to say the least.
I can imagine. Now, did you have children at that time? Hustle.
No. So at that time I was just starting to date my now husband. Okay. We got married in February and then, yeah, I was working full time once we got married. And then once kids came into the picture, obviously things were a little more complicated. We lived in the city for 2 months while my oldest Andy was born. And I was cooking in my clients' kitchens. When I started cooking for the families, I started cooking mm-hmm. in their homes. And then we moved to Westchester, which was when we started, you know, we built a kitchen in our house. We built a brand new kitchen, which was kind of like my commissary, which was big enough to accommodate, somebody to come help me cook as well and help me clean. So it really worked out well. We had a second fridge. We kind of got it all set up there, for service. And then I would cook for multiple clients at a time, try to double over as many, you know, recipes and menu items as possible.
Did you have to deliver this to New York?
And then I would deliver. Yeah, I had a couple clients randomly that would pick up from me. But for the most part, I was going out to deliver every single day.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it was a hustle. And I knew there was an end goal in sight, but it was just so great. Mm-hmm. The money was great. It was keeping me busy. It turned into like this full-time job that getting out of it was very hard. And it wasn't until we moved to Florida last year that was a push to finally like start this next chapter, because it just kept going and it was good. And, you know, it's hard to walk away from it all. And then once they moved, I knew that would be the push to like, okay, get the next move going and start monetizing on this, because you can only cook for a certain amount of clients at one time.
Right.
I wanted to grow something bigger than that. So I was like, how can I actually turn this into a bigger business?
And sure. You wanted a scalable business.
Exactly. And something that I wouldn't have to like slave over, you know, a hot stove for all day just to make some money. So trying to figure out how to do that and how to get to that next step. So I was thinking maybe a meal kit. And we ended up with this whole meal prep concept, and a meal kit just wasn't cutting it for me, because that wasn't a solution. Just to get a box of ingredients to cook for one night of dinner. Yes, it's fun. It's an experience. You learn something new, but it wasn't practical. I was busy when I was cooking for my clients. I would be busy cooking for them all day long. I would come home like on a Friday night dinner and we mm-hmm. would literally just eat takeout or whatever I put together quickly. They say like the shoe man's kids have no shoes. And it's so true. When you're so busy doing things for everyone else, like, is your house styled?
My husband oversaw our kitchen renovation. That's the funny part. I was so busy working on someone else's house that I came home and I said, why is the subway tile all crooked? And he said, well, I did my best. So there you go.
Exactly. So you totally get it. So that was it. So I was like, you know what? I need a solution. I need a way. And especially once you have kids, like I need to make sure that I have dinner on the table every single night. So that's when the meal prep kind of came about. And I was like, if I could just get it together, get a little bit organized, which I'm not a hyper organized person. So this whole meal prep thing to me is not just like a normal thing for me. Like it's opposite of what I do. I'm very like fly by and, you know, in the moment, whatever I'm in the mood to eat or cook for dinner, I'll do it last minute. But this was something that I wanted to push myself to do, because I knew we would save a ton of time, a ton of money, and I would be human throughout the week and my husband could actually eat good food. And then once I had kids, my kids could actually have a great dinner and I ate well all week long.
And I think it's something that women struggle with the most.
It's one of the biggest things. Yeah, because it's something that women have to worry about every single night. Not only women, but for the most part, I feel like it's mostly women cooking. And it's something that we have to worry about every single night, running to the grocery store, planning a menu, pleasing every single little picky palate in the house. And it takes a lot out of you. And especially as a working woman these days, you're still expected to do that. It's really, really difficult and stressful. So we're really filling a need here. So it's been pretty cool and rewarding. And Prep and Rally has just been the answer to a lot of, you know, people's stresses, including my own, which is why I stand by it so much. Yeah.
Wow. So how has Instagram helped propel your business? You know, you're very active on Instagram. You've got a large following. You're very natural on Instagram stories.
Thank you.
It clearly has helped your business. So can you tell us a little bit about that, getting on Instagram, how it's helped you? Does it hinder you at times? You know, a lot of women have a love-hate relationship with it.
Yeah, it's so true. That whole love-hate relationship, because one day you're like feeling great about it. The next day you're like, where are the likes? I don't understand. I have this following. Why isn't anybody actually liking pictures anymore? They're just browsing and looking. So it's tricky, and you have to just try not to get so bogged down by it. My husband, you know, he keeps me sane, I think, when it comes to Instagram, because he always says it's not necessarily going to bring more subscriptions if you spend a little more time editing that picture or going in and commenting on people's pictures. Like, spend your time wisely, do smarter campaigns, try not to spend time, you know, getting so stressed out about the little things, but think more about the big picture. And at the end of the day, Instagram does not belong to you. It belongs to Mark Zuckerberg, and you don't want that to be your only source of, you know, followers, or you don't want your business to be fully on Instagram, because any day it could just go away. You want to make sure that you use it as a marketing tool, but it's not your only, you know, source of income, because it could be gone any day, which is a crazy thing to think, but it's true. So as long as you have that mindset and you just think of it as an amazing marketing tool, because it is so incredibly powerful. Especially with swipe ups, like, I've seen so many, I mean, almost all my subscribers are from Instagram. But just try not to get too stressed out by the little things. And, you know, this one wants that person wants this. And it's just like, you can't please everyone. You just have to be yourself, and you just have to be authentic and do the best you can. Don't oversell too much. You know, you want to take insights from your followers. You want to get a sense of what they want, what they're looking for, what they're attracted to, because that's what's going to help you. But you can't stress out too much about it, because you're just not going to please everyone. And at the end of the day, it is just a number, and it doesn't matter so much. And it's hard to remember that.
Right.
Even
so
for
true.
Myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. So what is the most rewarding part of your job?
Seeing the response so far, just the response that comes in. You know, you've given me my life back, or I'm able to go on a date night all of a sudden. Or my kid said to me yesterday, "Mommy, I'm so happy you actually sat with me, like played this game with me tonight." Like, things that people have never done before, because they're so stressed out and running to the grocery store. They get home and they're busy washing dishes while their kids are eating dinner. Here, you have dinner ready. Pull out of the fridge. It takes 2 minutes to assemble. You are sitting with your kids or with your family and eating a family dinner. Or your kids are eating, and then you get to actually sit down and have a proper meal with your spouse. So being able to see that response of how I'm changing the course of people's weeks. And it's so similar to how it went for me, because I was miserable throughout the week. It's so hard. It's such a struggle being able to work and be a mom and get dinner on the table and then also make lunches. Like, there's so many responsibilities, and being able to help people in that way has just been so incredibly rewarding. And a big part of this whole Instagram thing is I've listened to my followers throughout the years. And when I was testing this out, I basically tested out the concept, and I was doing some free meal prep plans every other Sunday for, I think it was like 4 or 5 months, when I was living in Florida last year. And I was really just doing it to get a sense of what people wanted, what kind of menus people wanted, if this was even going to be successful, would people do this? Is it helping people? And the response was overwhelming. I was like, I need to turn this into a business, because I really believe that this is going to change the way people live every single week.
That's great. So what's cute is I noticed on Instagram, so many women have tagged you. You know, look what a beautiful dinner I made. Thank you, Deanie. You know, you saved me. It is really nice to see.
It's confidence. Yeah. It's building this confidence and this community of women who do it together. The whole thing is saving time, saving money, saving your sanity, and doing it together in this amazing community. We have a private Facebook group where people also share their pictures and be like, look at this. My 4 out of 5 kids just ate this. They've never eaten this in their life. Or my husband just ate tuna for the first time. He ate fish. So also, by you're still cooking it, and it's your food, and you're customizing, so it's still your own. You're not getting a box of ingredients and just throwing it together. You're shopping on your own. You're cooking on your own. So it's still yours. But it's, you know, someone else is doing all the hard part for you and making it so simple. And there are some plans where, like, they'll give you a bunch of different recipes and you put together what you want and then build up your own grocery list from there. I find that's too much work even. I want to just know, here's a menu, either you want it or you don't. And usually there are ways to modify to make it work. So it's all about those small modifications to make it work for everyone. And also kids, picky kids are eating this food because it's like being presented to them in a different way, or it's from Deanie, the prep and rally girl. Like all these kids are like, where's the prep and rally girl?
That's so cute.
What's for prep and rally this week? Like it makes like a fun, different thing. And they see my kids eating it on Instagram and that inspires other kids to eat it as well sometimes. So it's been really, really cool. And I'm just so excited to continue sharing it with the world.
That's great. So how does it work? I know essentially Sunday is the night when you post the videos, right? So everyone gets the ingredients?
Exactly. So Sunday is the prep rally. So basically every Wednesday I send out an email and that gives you, that shows you the new menu for the upcoming week. You log in on the website with your credentials once you're a subscriber and you get access to these weekly PDFs. And each week there's a brand new menu with eight or so new recipes. It gives you a, you know, an outline of what the menu is for the week. It gives you the grocery list, which you can modify. And then it gives you the Sunday prep items, which is eight or so items that you're prepping on Sunday, which we call the prep rally. And I list all those recipes for the prep rally and you go in that order. And it just also gives you this time management component, which so many people are missing. They'll like roast the sweet potatoes at the end and then do the dressing in the beginning. But then you're waiting an hour just for the potatoes to be ready and then another half an hour for them to cool. So this is teaching you do the sweet potatoes first, that when those are done at the end, while it's cooling, you make the salad dressings and do, you know, the marinades at the end. So it's teaching you the order in which you should cook, which helps you later on when you're going to cook anything. And, you know, for a Shabbat dinner, it teaches you how to actually think about cooking in the kitchen to be most productive, most efficient. I teach you knife skills. And that is what it's about. It's building confidence in the kitchen and giving you those tools to be a rock star in your kitchen. So you can build that confidence and cook all week long and, you know, cook for a Shabbat dinner and have it be easy instead of sitting there for hours.
For sure. It sounds like you thought of really every component because time is crucial. And it's usually we're making dinners when our kids are fighting. Everyone is tired and cranky. So the idea of, you know, doing this in a very smooth way and very time efficient way, is brilliant, really. So I wanted I think it's phenomenal. So clearly you are having a lot of success and you have a very strong work ethic. Was there a particular challenge that you had to face when starting your business or when growing your business?
So when I was building up this whole concept and testing it out, initially I was thinking it should be an app, not a website. And we wanted to get an investor. We thought that would be the right move. And I can't go into too much details, but it just did not work out with this one investor. It was kind of an awful situation. And I had to sort of, you know, either suck it up and kind of deal with it because, you know, it was kind of like, you know, there was money on the table potentially, but it just wasn't the right relationship at all. Throughout that whole process, by proving to him that this concept was going to work and that it was a great business idea, it proved to myself that I could do it on my own because I basically built it up myself the whole time that we were in talks. And that kind of gave me this confidence to be like, you know what? You don't need an investor. It doesn't need to be an app. You could do a website. People want me and people want it, the menus and they want the plans and doesn't need to be this fancy thing to begin with. Just start off small and basic and, you know, feel it out, be patient and just see how it goes from there. And I think that was just a big challenge to be able to walk away from that potential opportunity and just be like, you know what? I got this. I could do it on my own. And I worked my butt off as a result of it because I'm literally wearing the hat of every single aspect of the business. But at the end of the day, it all belongs to me, which is really cool. And that's most people say, you know, you should try to just hold on to as much as you can for as long as you can because it's yours. You call the shots, you make the decisions and you know, you could hire people, but I own it, which is a really rewarding, amazing feeling. But it was really hard walking away from this money that was kind of dangling in front of me.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but getting it done on my own, I hired somebody for 3 months to help me build up the website and get everything set up and help me with the branding, which was super helpful. And then I was able to sort of take it from there. And yes, at some point, would I love to get some more people involved and potentially, you know, work with an investor, maybe, who knows, down the line, maybe it'll turn into an app one day, who knows. But for now, you know, it's going really well and I'm super proud of what I've built. And it's cool looking back on it and kind of seeing that struggle and seeing how I kind of overcame that. So yeah, I would say that's definitely the biggest struggle.
For sure. That's so wonderful. So there was a silver lining in the situation, really, that you were able to realize your potential.
Exactly. Yeah. I just proved to myself, it's all just about that hustle and, you know, just believing yourself that you could do it. You just have to put in some hard work and you have to outsource a little bit sometimes to get a little bit creative. And that's sort of what we did. So it's working for now. It is working. Yeah.
Now, how do you practice self-care? Because clearly your schedule is very busy. You're the mom to two adorable girls. You are cooking. You are doing videos. So do you have time for it? And what does it look like?
Yeah. So I always say that it's so important to spend some time doing some form of self-care, and it could be anything. I mean, I don't particularly love watching TV or movies. I almost never turn on a movie. Like, my husband will sit next to me and watch a show or a movie while I'm sitting on my computer working. But sometimes I tell myself, like, you need to just turn the TV off or turn the computer off, shut off your phone, like, just be in the moment, do something for yourself. Like, tomorrow's another day, you'll get it all done. Because there's no end to the amount that I could or should be doing. There's always more work to be done. So it's this overwhelming feeling of like, let's get ahead. Let's keep going. Let's keep working. I push myself so hard. And when I was in fashion design, I used to go to my basement, start sewing something, and I wouldn't come up till 2 or 3 in the morning until the dress was done. I refused to just put it down and continue the next day. I would come upstairs wearing the dress and be like, look, mom and dad. And they would just crack up because I would sew an entire dress in a day. And that's, my daughter, Andy, is the same way. She has no patience and she needs to see the end result. And it's both a blessing and a curse because you need to know when to just put something down and be like, you need to take a break. You're getting sloppy or like you're too tired. Just like wait till tomorrow. And I just think it's so important to go get your nails done, or even if you're getting a haircut, shut off your phone while you're doing it and just like enjoy that head massage.
Be present.
It's hard to remember to do, but be present. Yeah. And even with my kids, like Shabbat, I always say is my savior because I'm not on my phone. I'm not on my computer. I'm looking at my kids in the eyes. We are playing. We like this past Friday night, we play this fun game and we were all laughing so hard together. It was so much fun. And you don't often get those times where you're just without work. So I would say Shabbat is definitely my, you know, my time to just get off my phone and fully relax. And the little things that I do for myself throughout the week, like, you know, going to a workout class, which I really enjoy, or,
what kind of class,
you know,
do you
going
like?
Get my nails done. So I'm really into spinning lately. I love spinning and plate fit. Have you ever done plate fit?
No, I haven't. What is that?
It's awesome. It's like this vibrating machine, actually. And you do, you know, all your regular like ab exercises, and you do burpees and jumps and all these things on it. But because it's vibrating, it works your muscles like double time.
Oh,
and
wow.
A 25 minute class feels like an hour. It's insane.
Oh my goodness.
You really
I
feel
that.
Sore. Yeah. It's the best bang for your buck because you're in and out of there in like a half an hour and you feel like you've worked for an hour. So really into that lately. We actually just ordered this thing called Mirror Fitness. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yes. You told me about it.
So that's coming next week. So I'm really excited to just do that. My husband and I are going to do it together in their yoga class, Pilates. It's essentially a mirror, that has like a trainer, like image in it. I can't explain it. You know, when you go to the bathroom sometimes?
Yes.
Like in some stores, they have it where like, it's a mirror, but there's also a person in it. It's like a TV and a mirror at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about.
Yes.
So it's kind of like that, but you hook up your heart rate monitor to it. And it's similar to Peloton where you have these live classes that you join in. So they can be like, oh, come on, Dini, keep working. Let's go. So you can either join in live classes or pre-recorded. And there's yoga, Pilates, bar, weight training.
Brilliant.
So pretty excited because I don't have to go anywhere. So you save a lot of time. You can just walk right over to your living room. You get a 30-minute workout in and you're done. And I think
that's
yoga
great.
Also as a form of self-care. I used to really be into yoga. I haven't done it in forever, but I know I could use it because it's the best de-stressor ever and it feels so good. So I'm excited to get back into that.
Yeah. And I think in LA, there's like a yoga studio every 3 blocks. So we're very
lucky. Every 3 blocks. Totally. There's so many. Oh my God.
Yeah,
but to not have to deal
great.
With parking or to drive anywhere is going to be a blessing. I'm like really excited about it.
For sure.
Yeah. So it's going to be cool.
So how has motherhood changed you? And that's a big question because it changes everyone in such different ways. And it's such a, you know, life altering change.
I mean, kids are the most amazing things ever. I am obsessed with my kids and they're just hysterical. They crack me up. They are so much fun. but they are so exhausting. It's a lot of work. And especially working from home, I think is the hardest. One thing to be a working mom, it's a whole nother level to be a working from home mom, because you're in the house all day long. So when you see their toys all over the place, you go crazy because I can't focus on a mess. So things need to be completely organized when they are home. I mean, now thank God they're in school till 5 every day. They used to be home, obviously, when they were younger. And even with a nanny, I'm in the kitchen cooking for a client and the nanny's there with my daughter and she's still crying. I want mommy out, mommy to feed me. And I'm like, I'm not here. I'm working. Mommy's not here. But I couldn't just lock myself in a room or go to Starbucks because most of my work was in the kitchen at the time. So I would say those were some like the hardest years of my life when the kids were actually home while I was working. Because there's just no break. I'm like working and mommying all day long, even with a nanny. It just was so incredibly difficult. Jolie had reflux and she was hardly eating. The nursing didn't work for me. It was so exhausting. And for a while, we didn't have a... it's not fun. Some people it works beautifully for. It's very natural. Other people, it is the least natural thing in the world. So I would say it was very difficult. And for a while, before we even got a nanny, when I was first getting started, we were doing construction in our kitchen, which ultimately ended up being our, like that kind of commissary that I used. But for a while, I was cooking in the basement in like a temporary kitchen and we didn't have full nanny help. So I would strap Andy on to like a baby carrier. And I was like cooking with her while I was holding her. And it was just crazy. And then I would take her to the city to deliver food. And every 5 seconds I had to pull over to either feed her or she was spinning up or she was screaming. It was just so stressful. Like multiple times a day, I would just scream to myself, like, why does it have to be so hard?
But, that's funny that you say that.
Oh, it's so hard. It's like, I always say like, just give me a break. Like, give me a freaking break. And it's
it's funny that you say that because I would look at your Instagram and go, oh my gosh,
you would never
she always
know.
Looks so fresh and happy and glowing and her makeup is done. And
I know it's so funny. That's why this love hate relationship with Instagram. And I think I get so much more action and more comments and more love on my story is because they're real. You see me in the morning, you see my kids going crazy and screaming. You don't get all that from your feed. Which is why I don't think people engage with a feed as much anymore because they would rather just see that real person. And, you know, I always try to incorporate some more realness into the feed, but it's this very fine line where it's like you want to be professional, but you also want to, you know, be real and show everything. So it's a tricky thing, but, you know, you try to be as
there's a fine
normal
line.
And real as possible. Exactly. And I think stories are a great place to kind of showcase that real life, which is why people engage with them so much.
Right, for sure. Well, thank you for being honest over here because it's so important for women to hear that we all have struggles.
That's what's so scary about Instagram is that you find yourself saying that. And more recently, I've started, you know, deleting people from my Instagram who don't bring me joy or don't make me feel stressed out or make me feel, you know, less confident in myself or make me feel bad about my relationships or make, you know,
so smart.
If there's any negativity there, I've just started saying goodbye. And after a couple of weeks, I'm like, wait, I haven't seen that person's feed in a while. And I actually felt better about it. But don't feel bad to unfollow people that don't make you feel good because I don't want to see people so perfect that don't give me tips or tricks or make me feel good about myself. And I think that's so important. And I always try to show that. And I still continue to try as much as I can to show the real. And I've been showing kind of like the prep and rally story. I've been doing like once a week. I'll like give like the full on story of the struggles that I went through and things that, you know, what it took to kind of get to this point. I'm still on this journey, but I think it's really cool to disclose all of that as I'm going through the journey, as opposed to at the end when I'm like mega success, God willing, one day, to all of a sudden look back on it. I think it's cool to sort of take people on that journey with you. And that's what people want. People want to be a part of the ride, see you transition, see you grow, see you fail, see you, you know, be successful and just being real about it. You know, I that's what I look for as well. Yeah. That's who I like to follow.
It's funny. I once heard a quote that nothing lives in your head rent free. And so the more you can limit any negativity or anything that will make you feel bad, because it will just sit there and instead fill your, you know, fill your Instagram feed or your life with positivity and things that, you know, 100%. Fill your cup, make you feel good. You are a lot better off.
100%. It's even with interior design, like, right? Isn't it all about like warm, like nice colors, like happy colors?
Absolutely.
Isn't there a whole thing with color theory and design where it just makes there you feel is. Happier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also weather, like living in space. LA, 100%. Weather for me, I think I actually have seasonal affective disorder because just the thought of New York lately just makes me depressed. I am so happy in LA.
I'm
like
with
the
you.
Weather here, I walk around smiling.
So Didi, we're down to our round of quick questions. And this is where I fire yes. some of your favorites at you. And we'll Ooh. Start with your favorite. Yeah, this is going to be fun. We're going to start with your favorite cookbook.
Favorite cookbook. Oh my God. I have so many. It's not even funny.
I know.
but one that I look at most often, Gwyneth Paltrow, the It's All Easy one. Do you have that one?
Oh yes. I love her cookbooks. Yeah.
I know she has a new one. I'm dying to look at the new one, but I really love the It's All Easy because first of all, there's a lot of Asian inspired food that Taya, I think her name is, who co-wrote the cookbook mm-hmm. with her. She's brilliant. A lot of, you know, Asian and Thai inspired flavors, but done really simply and quickly, which is what I'm all about. Mm-hmm. Very healthy, wholesome food, but still things that the entire family can enjoy. So it really, I'm really a big fan of it. And another one, that I've really been loving lately is one that's called Dinner.
Okay.
And it's actually by Melissa Clark, who writes for the New York Times. And she, you know, as well, it's all just about easy family, wholesome dinner recipes, cheap pan dinners, one pot dinners. And just like really great recipes. And I also just happen to love her writing. So I'll just read through all of her little paragraphs at the top of each recipe because she writes so beautifully. Like her descriptive words are so spot on. The way she nice. Describes like a slippery noodle. And oh my God, it's so much fun to read. She's so talented. Dinners.
Wow,
yes.
That's great.
Oh my God, they're great.
I'm going to include that in the show notes so everyone can find out where to get
yeah.
it. So Those what is a favorite... Into. Okay, mm-hmm. great. And what is a favorite kitchen gadget that you use?
So the sous vide that I've been using, mm-hmm. the Mellow, which is so cool because it's not just a regular sous vide, which I find kind of difficult because you have to know which temperature to cook things at. You have to do a lot of research. This is just right. like a water reservoir with an app. And you put in the app, I have a flank steak. It's 2 inches thick. It's either fresh or frozen. And I want it ready by tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And it has a cooling method. So it'll cool your food up until when it knows when it has to start cooking so it's ready and perfect doneness for you at 8 o'clock the next day when you want it.
Oh,
you can
it's
put
so
eggs
smart.
In the night before and you wake up to perfectly poached eggs in the morning. So that's also kind of been my mom hack of 2018, wow. I say.
it's called the Mellow?
Using it last year. The Mellow. Cookmellow.com, okay. I think is the website.
Okay.
And they're unbelievable. I it's like really been so helpful because last minute I could just take a frozen piece of steak, throw it in there and it does all the work for me. I come home. If you want to sear it at the end, it's ideal. Not totally necessary, but it's ideal to get a nice crispy crust and that's it. Mm-hmm. Dinner served. So
Brilliant.
It's really simple. Yep.
That's great.
It's really cool. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite spice?
Favorite spice. I love cinnamon. I love cinnamon because it can be sweet
too.
Or savory. I think that's so much fun when you could sort of play it both ways. I don't think mm-hmm. people use cinnamon enough for savory. It's like very Moroccan. Are you Moroccan?
I know, but I grew up with a lot of Moroccans because I grew up in Montreal. So yes, I'm familiar
right,
with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like very Middle Eastern, Moroccan.
Yes.
And I love cinnamon.
I really enjoyed my conversation with Dini today. I especially love the part where we talk about motherhood. How refreshing. And it's so great to be able to be open and honest with one another. So Dini, thank you so much. You can follow Dini at Prep and Rally on Instagram or Facebook. And you can also check out her fabulous videos on YouTube at Dini Klein. Have a great one. Thank you so much for listening in on our thoughtful, authentic conversation today. Stay tuned for next week's episode and make it a great one.